Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Office Evolution Radio. And Stone, this is the headliner.
Hey, this is the one we've been looking for, man. We have been working up to this moment all day long. No, we've had a good time. It's a marvelous facility. If you haven't had a chance to come down and visit with Andy Bean and Chris and the crew at Office Evolution, make a point of doing that. They treat you like gold. They understand what service is all about. It's a terrific facility. They're great people, and they're kind enough to make all of this possible for us today. And we get to do this instead of go work.
There you go.
All right. For this episode of Office Evolution Radio, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Sourced, Miss Gabrielle Mills. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me. That was quite the intro.
Well, Gabrielle, can you tell us about Sourced? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so Sourced started because we wanted to help business owners. I love entrepreneurs and small business owners, and my business partner Chrissy does too. And we found that they were very underserved because there's a lot of risk with owning a business and not a lot of resources, and it's a hard job. So we went out into the business world and we talked to owners and we said, what is it that you need help with? How can we best serve you? That was our number one priority when starting a business, was helping people. And they told us a bunch of different things that we basically put together in one company to be able to provide services for them. So we like to call Sourced a full service back office solution for entrepreneurs and business owners that they can access a la carte. And we have four key categories of service that we can provide them. The first one's content marketing. So things like social media, email marketing, blogging, design, running newsletters. The second is bookkeeping, anything financially driven on QuickBooks or Xero, managing their accounting from all aspects, just not taxes. We leave that for CPAs to do. The third category is office assistance, and that's on-site at their office or virtually, whatever they decide. And then we found that they also need help interviewing candidates and hiring people. So we offer placement services to kind of take the burden of finding good candidates off of their plate, because who really has time for that?
So I think she's answered that question before. You get the sense that maybe
she
has.
She was winning that.
But I think it's marvelous, and it's not a novel idea, I don't suppose, but I think the number of people who actually engage in this discipline, the idea that you went to the marketplace first, found out what was needed, what was wanted, and then built your solution or your solution set around that. Where did you get the idea to do that? What compelled you to do that? Did you see somebody else do that?
It's a funny story, Stone. The easy answer is we didn't know what we were doing. We wanted to do something, and we didn't know what we wanted to do. So we spent, Chrissy and I would say we, she's my business partner. She's also my mom. So we have a nice mother-daughter thing going behind the scenes. We knew we wanted to start a business, and we looked for 6 years for a franchise, and we knew first and foremost that we wanted to help people. We had no idea who or what or how, but we knew we wanted to do something. We wanted to employ people and put people to work, and we wanted to have a fun business. And when we went out to the franchise world, we found a lot of really great businesses, but we just didn't, it didn't feel right. You know, we just never settled on anything. And we took a hard look in the mirror one day and we said, you know, if we're not finding something that fits us, why don't we just invest in ourselves, you know, and just take that same amount of money and invest in us and see if we can build something. And we said, sure. And then we're like, well, what are we going to do? We don't know. So we had no ideas. So we knew through that process that we wanted to help business owners. And we really found a love for helping entrepreneurs. And we found this snowball effect that if their business is going well, their personal lives are going well, their family's going well, their health is going well. And the flip side was also the case that if their business wasn't going well, the snowball effect wasn't super great. So we said, let's help those business owners. And then we went out to them and we said, what do you need? And they told us and we built it. And it's really as easy as that. We just didn't know what we wanted to do. So we took from the ideas of other people.
So now what was your background?
I came from branding and marketing down in corporate America in Sandy Springs at IHG. I loved working there. I loved what I did. I just knew one day I was going to leave it and do something on my own. And when that day came, it was the hardest thing that I ever had done up till this point was quitting my job and actually taking the leap, but it was the best decision I could have ever made.
Now, what about your mom? What was she doing before?
Oh, gosh, she did everything. So she's got a sales background, too. She's primarily in, like, the call center business, but she's run businesses, small businesses, big businesses. She's got more of a left brain, financial, accounting, economy driven brain. I am like all right brain, all marketing, all creative. So we make a pretty good team because usually what I hate, she loves and vice versa. But yeah, we just decided to start this and one day we just took the leap and here we are.
So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you? Is the phone ringing? Are you out there drumming up business? What's that look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. So our business is very unique. So we basically put together a lot of we basically put together four types of businesses into one.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got multiple.
Yeah. Our biggest challenge is educating people on we can do so many things. A lot of times people are like, so you're a virtual assistant. So you place people. So you do marketing. It's like, yes, we do all of those, but we also do all this other stuff too. So it's really hard to communicate. So all of my sales is relationship driven. I do nothing but network all day, every day, and have conversations with people and meet friends and explain to them what it is that we do, but more so trying to figure out what that person's pain points are and what they're struggling with in their business. And it really doesn't matter what their answer is. I can usually find a way that I can help them. Our model is very, very adaptable. So we can figure out a way to twist it and turn it to fix their issue. And if we can't, then I refer it to somebody else that can. But that's all I do all day long is just meeting people. I can't explain what we do in a 30-second convo or a phone call or an advertisement. So it's the hard way, but it's the better way, I think.
Now, but you really have two types of clients. One are your clients that are paying you to do work, but the other ones are the workers that you have to pay to do with the work, right? So that's two different constituencies.
Yep.
How do you serve and find those people?
So what makes our business a little different is we don't, when we have a client that needs a service, we'll use bookkeeping, for example, we don't just send them an accountant and say, good luck, here you go. We actually give them three different types of people and staff them with an entire team. And that team can grow if they've got multiple services that they're doing with us. The first person on that team is called a client lead. And their entire job is to make sure that the client is happy and schedules are being met and their deliverables are being completed. And then their second job is making sure that the team members are staying happy. So as long as both sides are working well, they're feeling good about what they're doing, that's their entire job is to make sure that everyone feels good about what they're doing. Then we've got the specialists who are actually performing the work, and they actually we provide backup personnel as a standard as well. So if ever that specialist can't perform the job functions, the client lead will kick in the backup, and the client lead never loses any time with actually getting work
done.
And
then your actual client is interacting with that kind of account manager, not the worker necessarily.
Yeah, they don't have – now, they can have direct relationships with people. Bookkeeping is a really good example for that, actually, because you want to know who's touching your books. You know, right. You want to have that relationship. But if you've got a team of – 4 to 5 people, we believe it's not a good use of your time to manage all those people. So we have that client lead in place to take on that heavy lifting for you. So that business owner can still go out and do what it is that they want to spend their time on.
Now, if I'm working with Sourced and you're doing like 2 or 3 of those activities, I'm working with one account manager who's managing the tweeter and
the
bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Right? The tweeter.
Right there. Each of those individual people.
Yep.
And I'm communicating primarily with this account manager. Hey, this is it. But and then those people you're deploying, that's all your problem.
Mm-hmm. They're all me. So that we hire them, we manage them, we develop them, we coach them. If they need additional training, we take care of all of that. They are our people to make sure everything's running smoothly. And we have issues. I mean, we're in a people business.
We have people problems.
But our clients shouldn't have to deal with that. You know, so we try to alleviate as many problems as we possibly can. And we've got processes and procedures to try to avoid those as much as possible. But when they arise and they're unforeseen, the client lead and us management behind the scenes do our best to make sure we take care of that without having to deal with them.
Now, when the client's working with you, how am I paying for the services? Is everything, am I paying for a bookkeeper? X rate? Am I paying for a social media person at Y rate? Like, how do I manage all of that?
We get to a flat monthly rate for you, so you know exactly what you're paying every single month. And we stack those services on top of each other. So for marketing, we're usually doing it off of like a menu pricing or an hourly rate, depending on what fits best for you. Bookkeeping is on scope, and we get to a flat rate a month. And then office assistance is by hours that you have a certain number in a month. So when we first came to market, everything was by hours, and it was not the right way to do it. You know, the bill changed every month, and people didn't know what was going on.
Right, like, so, 1 month it's $1,000, right. Next month it's $4,000. You're like, what happened?
Yeah, our clients were like, we want something flat. And we're like, okay. So we changed it, and now everything is flat. And if ever the scope changes and your business grows, as it should, as we hope that you grow over time, we'll just bump you up to the next little tier, and they're in just like 5 hour increments, or depending on the scope, it's just a little bit of bump. So we're constantly growing just a little bit as you are. So they're never biting off more than they can chew, but, they're getting the help that they need still, and they still know what they're paying for every month without
now,
any question.
What's the biggest challenge for you? Is it to get more kind of workers that can do the work and keep them busy? Cause you have to keep them busy or else they're going to go find other opportunities. Or is it to find more clients?
Well, it's always hard to find clients. It's both. I think our biggest challenge is educating people on what we are, because we are so different. And I don't say that to pat myself on the back. It's actually quite difficult to say like that we do all of this stuff. And that's a challenge. And it is hard to find people, but we actually find really great people. We have to keep more people in I call it the bench. We have to keep more people on the bench than we have work for. So one of the biggest challenges in operations is having people hang on, quote unquote, until we're able to get them work. Once work comes in, it usually comes in really quickly, but we never know when a client's going to close. So we have to have people at the ready for when right. They do close and someone can step in. And that waiting period and keeping them on board and engaged can be a challenge at times.
Are there certain professions or businesses that you seem to gravitate to or that seem to use more of your services than others?
Yes, we help any business in any industry, anywhere. But we do find that people in the trades or construction, building, that have to create things with their hands are a really great market for us, and companies that have billable hours. Because if those people literally aren't building something or billing something, then they're not making money. So if they're stuck in their back office doing all the other stuff, then it's really quite literally pulling them away from their, you know, what's making the money in their business and their livelihood. But we have a representative in just about every industry. We've done technology and retail and restaurants and law and all sorts of stuff. So there's no limit.
All right. So let's go and do an exercise that I'm going to call onboarding. Okay. So onboard me on each one of your activities. So I want content marketing help. Mm-hmm. How would you kind of, what's our first conversation look like?
You're about to provide a good 10, 15 minutes of unbilled, very valuable consulting. So these are quite very real questions, I think.
Coming. Okay.
But this way, if somebody called you, this is, they know what they're going to expect, right?
Yeah. Do you have real life examples that I can use? Because usually I can't have this conversation.
I have real life examples.
Okay,
oh,
great.
Yeah.
So my first question is you want marketing. What does that mean to you? What kind of marketing are you looking to have done?
I'm going
to
use all of these examples. I'll use what we have in real life. At Business Radio X, we produce a lot of content. Mm-hmm. We're part of our service to our guests and our clients are that we help amplify that content that we create here in the studio. Mm-hmm. So like right now we're doing an interview. It would be great if somebody was listening as we're doing this and live tweeting while this happened. It would be great that after this is published, that somebody shares it and distributes it to a variety of different places. Mm-hmm. It would be great if somebody can curate some of our content across a variety of things and make a newsletter every week or month.
Yep.
How's that?
All that's possible. So what we would do is, first of all, you would get a client lead for that, just to manage all of the things in your brain that we would have to keep in our brain. So when are your schedules for the radio show? Where do you want the content published? What are the rules and guidelines before we publish content? Someone to manage all of those details. we would issue you a particular designated marketing person to either be here or to be at the ready for whenever you provide content, and then deploy to those channels that you'd like us to deploy to. That's a little bit of a unique request. We haven't had a radio show yet, so that would be kind of fun to do. But we would want to put somebody designated onto your account to make sure that they're always available and at the ready when you do have something going on.
So all right, before you go to the next one, that person, though, I'm getting the sense that after that person works with us for a little bit, not only might they respond to what Lee and I are able to articulate that we know we want, but maybe they may come back to us and say, hey, have you thought about this, this, and this as well?
That's the whole point.
Is that true? Okay.
Yep. So we provide designated people across the board. So your bookkeeper should never change in theory. I mean, things happen. People change jobs and whatnot. Same with your office assistant. And we provide that backup support should that person ever leave. So somebody else also has that information in their brain. So it's in your client lead's brain, the specialist brain, and the backup. What was I going with that? I have no idea.
I was just suggesting I'm getting the idea that early on, maybe they're doing work that we're able to articulate, but maybe they would come back to us and say, hey, been hanging out with you for a little while doing this.
Right.
You
know, we don't need you to do this. We don't need a robot that just does what
we
ask. We need someone that's smarter than us that's going to tell us more things we could be doing.
Yes. And that's the point of having the same people on your team month over month so they can grow with you and they can start to learn your business. Things get more efficient. They learn, they make suggestions, they make recommendations. And that's coming from several different people, not just the brain of one. But we try to keep those people the same on the accounts across the board. And for industries where we have a lot of business, we keep those people in same industries as well. So I mentioned that we have a lot of people in construction, building, and trades. Our teams tend to be very similar in those industries because those people have already learned the nuances.
They know best practices.
Right. Mm-hmm. For marketing, they're kind of all across the board. You know, you have to be kind of a generalist in what we do for marketing. But the whole point of what we do is not to just be a doer, but also a thinker. Right. Now, we're not strategists, so we're not going to be your marketing officer, but we will say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Have you heard
about
this?
You have opinions.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And that's the whole point. I mean, we want to be your back office support and inevitably grow your business, and we're not doing that. We're not doing our job
right. Enough of the marketing. We're moving on to office.
You're
office
quick.
Assistant.
Yeah.
Office assistant in our world is the person that's sitting where Stone's sitting to press record and do that. We consider that trained as an office assistant. Like he's mentioned earlier, all the photos that were taken here today, all of the notes that have to be published on a blog, that all is done by kind of an administrative person.
We would consider that administrative as well.
And then, so you'd ask me these questions like, okay, what do you define as office assistant? What kind of office assistance do you need? And then you'd be able to actually physically send a human being show up at 10 o'clock on Mondays.
We can,
To press record after, obviously, we train them and then execute the production.
Now I didn't realize that. So I assume the vast majority of your work, a lot of it's virtual.
No. We do have a lot of virtual work, but over 65% of our business is on site too.
A lot of people think we're just virtual.
That's why I did this.
Yeah, that's why I have conversations all day long. You get it.
Right. That's why I'm sitting over here and he's sitting over there.
No, that's a perfectly fine question. We have plenty of people that do the virtual thing and it's kind of on an as needed basis and it's whenever something comes up and that's totally fine. And then we have plenty of people that we've got, I need you on Monday, Tuesday, Friday from 3 to 5 and whatever that is.
But that's okay. Like a little 1.5, 2 hours here and there.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't have minimum, to be 8 hours straight.
Nope. Our minimum is 10 hours a month.
So it could be 2 hours.
Yep. It's supposed to be very flexible and adaptable, so it fits your business. So we
This whole thing is a myth buster for me. I came into this very high. 10 hours a month is the minimum.
For office assistance, yeah.
Wow.
And it used to be lower than that, and then we were like, we can't show value at anything lower than that. But it really depends on what you need. So when I'm sitting here talking to somebody like you, who's like, how does this fit me? It's let's talk about what's going on in your business and what you need help with, and I'll tell you how we can fit into what you need because we are so adaptable and we offer so many different types of things. But to answer your question, yes. And what I would do is I would intake all of that information and I would go back to Chrissy, who manages a lot of our personnel, and say, this is what they need. I'm thinking this person, who are you thinking? And then we go to that person and we say, this is the job that we're thinking about for you. How does that feel to you? Is that something that's a good fit? And then they'll say, yes, it is. And we get started right away.
And then for us, the last thing that we would need is some sort of bookkeeping. So that's keeping track of the bills that have to be paid, the money that comes in, and you know, putting
this is my favorite one,
the right slot in QuickBooks. This to me seems the easiest. This is like pretty straightforward.
It's the most important part of your business, and it's often the most overlooked. And for people like me who have a right brain and love marketing, I hate this stuff. So the bookkeeping is our most popular because it's, you know, people don't really get to it. It kind of gets on the back burner, or they're just, you know, not very good at it. They, you know, they don't like to think that they're good at it, or, you know, whatever it is. So the people that we hire for bookkeeping are actually the easiest to hire because we have certain standards around it. We have standards for everybody, but they're very concrete with bookkeeping. You have to have at least an accounting degree, bachelor's degree. You have to at least have 10 years of marketing, accounting in your background. You have to be QuickBooks certified. A lot of times we have people with master's degrees. Most of the time, people that come and work with us, the accountants that work with us, are dialing back and they're looking for more flexibility in their life, which we can provide for them. So they're well overqualified for what it is that they're doing. And then we look at what you need from a bookkeeping perspective, and we draw up a scope of how many accounts do you have, how many transactions, what do you need us to do in a month? Do you need us to pay your bills? Do you need us to run your invoices? Do you need us to help you with your budget? Like, what are all those things? And we come up with a flat scope for the month, and then you have your bookkeeper actually perform those functions for you.
And then at the end, they give me stuff that I can just hand to my accountant?
Yep, reports.
That answered all my questions about that. And you have any more?
No. Where do we sign?
I can send you a service agreement if you'd like to. I'm just kidding. No, it's I love what we do. And I love it because we get to help people. A lot of times I met with a reaction very similar to yours of, I didn't know something like this existed out there. I didn't know that I could get help for, you know, something that's affordable to me with the experience that you have. I didn't know that I don't have to hire somebody. Like, I thought I had to hire somebody. And when I tell them, no, you don't have to hire somebody and you don't even need them for as long as you thought you need them, it's a surprise. And I enjoy giving people a little bit of joy that they don't have to take on that risk of bringing on a person onto their staff.
Now, how long have you been doing this?
So we're rolling up into our third year. So yeah, it's been a ride. It's been awesome, but I mean, we're a new business. I still think we're a toddler business. That's what I say. So we have undergone a lot of the same challenges and struggles as a lot of the clients that we have are. So we are very intimately aware of like what entrepreneurship is like, and we bring that to the table with our clients. So when they come to us with problems, we legitimately care about solving them. And because we've been there and we've either been there or we're going to get there. So we like to bring a little bit of a personalized approach and treat their businesses as if they're our business.
You talked about networking early in the conversation. It seems to me, and we're a little bit spoiled because a lot of the people in our network come to us, right? Because they come on the show and that's how we meet them. But it seems
that's our secret.
That's secret sauce. It seems like there's just infinite number of choices, like how you could invest your networking week next week. It looks to me like that from the outside looking in. Do you have some sort of algorithm or some discipline that you apply to where and how you're going to invest your time?
Go to places?
Yes, but also I'm just a little crazy because I wear myself a little too thin on the networking. I go to about 10 group networkings a week and about 15 one-on-ones a
week. You're just a little bit crazy when it comes to networking. Has anybody ever told you that?
I'm a little nuts. Yeah.
Where's your base of operation at?
Greater Atlanta. So all over the place.
So where do you live?
I live and our office is in Peachtree Corners.
Okay, so you're kind of centrally located.
We're centrally located, but I go everywhere. I go everywhere. If a client of mine wants on-site support, we leave it to Greater Atlanta. Like, I have to have somebody willing to battle the traffic to wherever that is. And trust me, that comes up.
I'll bet.
Do you have people in the Sandy Springs area?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we got them all over.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we're joking about a little bit about you being crazy and working hard and all that. And I know sometimes the ideal that we get in our mind for whether it's spending time with our kids or how we're going to invest our money or our resources in a business is that we want to invest it in quality time with
the
kids.
And you should.
And I wonder if it's not equally true that to really achieve quality, you got to cross this threshold of quantity. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
That you gotta do
you
enough.
Do. So it's really hard for me to answer like who's your ideal customer because we do so much. I mean, clearly, you know, that's hard to answer. Our vision for the business, this was the first thing we did when I quit my job was develop this vision, which is to be the reason our clients have more time. For that very reason of that time should be spent with your family or growing your business or prepping for that presentation or whatever you want to spend that time doing. Whatever that is, you have to let go of other things in order to get that time. So delegation is incredibly difficult for an entrepreneur, but the hardest part is trusting, like having a person that you can trust to do it, but also knowing where those people are and just finding those resources. So a lot of what I do is figuring out how I can help people, but then also figuring out how they can delegate it so they can have more time to do whatever it is that they're going to do up to and including networking for quantity.
Now, but one of the things that I find attractive about your business is I just have to train you once.
Correct.
Then it becomes your problem to train all the people.
Correct.
If I'm hiring somebody or even getting a temp in for something, I got to create the wheel every single time.
So in our back end, we've got a couple of processes regarding training. So the first time we obviously have to be trained on it. Every specialist on your account has to create their documentation. We call it a handbook, which is basically the, if you were to get hit by a bus tomorrow or win the lottery tomorrow and you're gone, somebody's got to be able to go in there and do your job manual. So they create that right from the start.
You make the worker mm-hmm. create it.
Yeah. And with screenshots and arrows and directions and all sorts of stuff. Next step is bringing in that backup person to get trained on that process. So after about a month or two, there is a second person that knows how to do that job. And every time somebody works on the account, regardless of what specialist it is, every day they write a daily note on what happened that day, how long they worked, what they accomplished, what direction they received, what files they used, all of it. So if we ever have turnover, we've got a handbook on how to do the job, and we've got an archive of everything that's happened with the client on a day-to-day basis. So we're able to train that person behind the scenes and say, hey, we had to move your backup in. They're fully ready to go. What do you need us to do?
Now, how do you handle, like, from me being a client standpoint, I have to get comfortable with you having access to certain things.
Yeah.
So how do we handle like passwords and access and things like that?
It's on a case-by-case basis. Pretty much your client lead will only have the passwords that we need to have, and we keep them separate. And in our own system where just your client lead can access it. Sometimes you have to give your people access, like your bookkeeper is going to have access. A lot of times the systems that you're using, your bank or QuickBooks, will have particular permissions that you can allow us
but
that you can turn on and off.
Educate us to do that.
Yeah. So it just depends on what softwares you're using. But first and foremost, we're having a conversation of, one, if we have turnover, which we hope we never have, but if we do, how do we make sure you're not having to continuously add new people on there? How do we make it so you're only doing this once? Mm-hmm. And two, how do we make it so the least amount of people have that information so it's kept as safely as possible? And everybody in our organization is under a confidentiality agreement as a standard. So they come on board having signed a piece of paper that says they're going to receive confidential information that if it ever gets shared, you know.
Well, you had me a document. Did you hear what she said? I mean, just imagine had we engaged someone in her system to just come and hang out with me today, back here, right? Just documenting what I did.
Was she not documenting it while we were having this interview?
But just how
I wish I was that kind of a multitasker.
I could build a case for engaging one of her people just to help you document the stuff. Remember, we had a business broker on that last episode, mm-hmm. and he talked about people not having their ducks in a row getting ready for an mm-hmm. exit or a sale. Imagine how valuable that can be when you bring on talent of this caliber that's that organized, and they help you document all these processes.
Right, like you could have, like we that's, obviously, when we come to
thanks.
When we come to a location like this, we have to build this, right?
Every time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Stone's memory.
Yeah.
All right. Because Stone's done it more than anybody else.
But we could have one of your team could just sit here and go, okay, that wire goes.
And they might ask me a question, why'd you do that? Or did it have to be, you know, or whatever. But in a couple times, they'd probably have this thing. Do you hear her talking about screenshots and arrows? And
yeah.
This is a dream that can come true, I'm thinking.
I think so.
You guys are so flattering. Thanks.
So if somebody, so first the profile could be anybody, but most of your business is in kind of the trades and billable
hours,
hourly,
accountants, attorneys,
professional services.
Professional services is a great way to put that,
Radio shows.
Radio shows, things like that.
Specialized.
I got you.
And then the best way to get a hold of you is the website. Is that the best place?
Or
they just go to any kind of networking meeting and you're probably there.
And she'll be there.
You know, probably there's several people listening to this. They're like, oh, I know that chick. So our website's getsourced.com, S-O-U-R-C-E-D. They can email me directly at gabrielle@getsourced.com or they can call us at 678-744-8877. Really, anyway. I mean, as long as you can find Sourced, reach out in any way you can. I'll reach back out and figure
it
out.
And then anywhere in the metro Atlanta area right now is good for you.
Yeah.
But with dreams of building the empire around the world.
Unless you want to be virtual, and we've got clients in multiple states. So, I mean, virtual, there's sky's the limit. But, yes, we do hope to franchise our model one day and bring it national. So that would be, that's the dream. And we're hoping to do that in our fifth year. So we're
2 years away.
We're
on a clock.
We got a lot of work to do, but we're trying. We got big dreams. You got to be a big dreamer as an entrepreneur. You know, you're not this crazy if you don't have, dreams of some kind.
That's it. Well, Gabrielle, thank you so much for sharing your story today. And that's GetSourced, GetSourced.com.
Thank you so much.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.